Discourse, love not ourselves to death. Love not ourselves to death. Brother Gaddy.
Thank you very much, Brother Herb. It is indeed a privilege for Janelle and I to be with you in this convention. We bring the love and greetings from the Phoenix class again. Brother Hersher has already brought them to you once. And I believe he failed to mention that we do have a New Year's convention there. So we would like to see any and all of you there. Love not ourselves unto death. Self is one of the greatest things that we have to combat as new creatures in Christ Jesus. We love ourselves because we grew up with ourselves. We have this body to live with. We are prone to give to this body. It's a natural weakened inclination, so to speak, for a new creature. So it isn't easy, as the Apostle Paul states to us, that he dies daily, that he fights this fight against the war against the body, the spiritual mind that has been begotten of God. This scripture is taken from Revelation, the 12th chapter, and verse 11. It says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. This, in a broad sense, is speaking of those faithful overcomers all down through the gospel age, our brethren, that have gone on before us and made their calling and election sure. They too had to overcome this great adversary. In this particular text, it's talking about the accuser in verse 10, of course. And this is the adversary. And it shows to us here that the adversary is still with the church at the end of the age. Turning to Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verses 37 through 38, says, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And as a new creature, you and I realized this when we made a covenant with God, that we were to put God first and we became secondary. Really, we became third in the sense of the word, because we recognize our Lord Jesus as the head of the church. He, as it states in Revelation, the 20th chapter in the first verse, that we were beheaded, for he stands as being our head. In Acts, the 20th chapter, in verse 24, these are words of our Apostle Paul. It says that he counts not his life. Pardon me, that's the 24th verse. But none of these things move me, neither count I life, my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And each of us, too, must consider our lives not dear unto us, as in opposition to the old man, but should keep him under We have not received a literal beheading as stated, but we are bringing our bodies under in subjection and being dead to self-will and acknowledging Christ as our head. In Ephesians, the first chapter, starting with the 17th verse, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that He may know what is the hope of His calling, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding great and His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which we wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. For above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And He hath put all things under His feet, and given Him to be the head over all things, the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Giving a well-rounded picture of the church being the body members or the anointed of the Christ. In the baptismal service, the scriptures that are always very prominent to us, and we think of these things as being dead to ourselves, we call to your attention again Romans 6, verse 3 and 4. Know ye not that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And so we think of ourselves and not wanting to yield ourselves and not loving ourselves to, as the scripture says, to death, which would actually, if we follow self-inclinations and fallen tendencies, it could only lead to second death for us. So we want to yield ourselves to the service of God, and that is to be filled with the Spirit. We have many exhortations from this platform along these lines of self-discipline. The scripture that we said early in 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 31st verse, is that from first the Apostle Paul stating that, I protest by your rejoicings which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. We should find ourselves in a similar heart of mind in laying down our lives daily in the service of the Heavenly Father. If this be no more than our time that we spend in uplifting ourselves in study, this is one of the things that all of us have to do. No one can make our calling and election sure for us. We have to do that ourselves. It is by the grace of God that He has called us and given us this opportunity, but it is for us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. 1 Peter 1:4. It says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us. We have escaped this through a faith, and we look forward to this great inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away, but that is reserved in heaven for us if we are faithful. Let us turn to John, the 12th chapter, and beginning with the 23rd verse, are words of our Lord as he gave and taught in his day. And Jesus answered them and saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man shall be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Here again, the thought of loving not ourselves unto death is our Lord, an example to us. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I into the world. Father, glorify thy name. We realize that our Lord set a perfect example for us in glorifying his name, and he said that he would glorify it again. As we continue to read the rest of this verse, it says, then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Speaking of our Lord, that he would be set on the right hand of God. And we think of this great thought of glorifying it again and perhaps again and again, that our Heavenly Father's name would be glorified when the church would all be glorified, and when the world of mankind is brought back, they too will glorify God's name. When every knee shall bow, when every tongue shall bow, confess to the name of God the Father and to his honor. When our Lord went beyond, he went beyond for a special purpose that the Holy Spirit might ascend into his people, realizing that only through that Comforter could he comfort the people, comfort his church down through the age. And we have been comforted here by the thoughts of the Holy Spirit and the operation of the Holy Spirit in pages, times in past and in this gospel age, and we shall hear it later on from the age to come. The operation of that Holy Spirit, you feel it within your very being to drive you, to motivate you, to study, to learn, to endeavor to be more Christ-like and more God-like. Therefore, would not love yourselves or ourselves unto death, but be motivated by that Spirit to lay down that life in the service of God and for his great cause. In Romans, the 12th chapter, the first two verses, very familiar verses to us, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing or renovating of your mind, that you may be prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This renovation period in our lives, to begin with, we first began to know the truth, brought that wonderful thought of a ransom sacrifice. God gave His only begotten Son for our sins and the sins of the whole world. Then at that time, as we made a consecration, He gave us of His Holy Spirit. We have really received the mind of God, the mind of Christ. We should learn to become an overcomer each day. We are to carry out the instructions of our teacher and example, Christ our head. Oh, we talk about these things plainly and easily, but when it comes right down to, as the sister in her testimony earlier stated, we'd like to stay here with the brethren. We feel the spirit of motivation here. But when we get out into the world, we feel that drawing tendency, the fallen inclinations, and not being able to put those things into practice that we would like to do in God's sight to be pleasing to Him. 1 Corinthians 2:14, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." As natural men, they cannot understand why that we would want to come away in a place like this, perhaps hundreds of miles away from our home, spend 6 days in assembly together and talking and hearing the word of the Lord. It is a foolishness to those people. But to you and I, we realize that it is life itself. To hear these words, to have them within our hearts, and to be motivated by those things, is a great help to us as new creatures. Proverbs, the 3rd chapter and the 5th verse, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding." How many times have we yielded ourselves to the old man's thoughts and not yielded to the thoughts of the Lord, perhaps? But as fallen tendencies are, we're not to trust ourselves in our fallen tendencies, but to wait on the Lord. And as the scripture says, I say wait. He is working out this great work within us individually. It is going to require a great deal of patience and waiting. We have heard from this platform the benefit and necessity of having patience. And all of us, I'm sure, need it. And as some have said, I pray for patience every day, but I sure want to hurry up and get it. And this is me. I lack patience, mostly with myself. James 4:4, "Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them in the same exercises of writing and speaking of evil." Pardon me, I have the wrong scripture. "Know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of God is the enemy of God." Do we want to be enemies of God? What it says here, friendship with the world and its fallen tendencies or enmity with God. We realize that there are those three things that we have to strive against: the world, the flesh, and the devil. Jesus didn't look to self. He thought very little of himself. In this regard, many days he went and perhaps didn't eat or ate very little. It says the birds of the air have their nests, the foxes have their holes, but the Son of Man hath not a place to lay his head. This is a great challenge. We heard here from this platform how some of the brethren in other continents went over, present themselves in a particular way to the public and endeavor to tell the truth to them by drawing a crowd with music or whatever. This is the way our Lord was. Only he had a better way of doing this by healing and so on. He drew crowds by this. But he looked not to self. He said that the words I speak are not my words, but him that sent me. Those words that come from us, the great truth that comes from us, must not be our words, but from him that who has called us out of the darkness of the world into his marvelous light of truth. And so we see a life there, a great example that has gone before us in our Lord Jesus, the perfect example, laying down his life. You and I are not called upon, perhaps, to lay down our lives as quickly as he was. For it was written that in a certain time period that his life must come to an end, according to our prophecy. But you and I must delight to do thy will, O my God. For thy laws are written within our hearts. If we find these words pleasing to us as new creatures, then we are in harmony with God. And we are endeavoring to lay down our lives daily in sacrifice for his great truth. 1 John 2nd chapter 15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lusts of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life, is not in awe of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We realize that God has given us a time to fulfill our covenant sacrifice. The time for you and I is now. We are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Have we not seen the things of the world that were appealing to us, something that we perhaps wanted very badly, went out and bought it or got it in some special way, and after we had returned home and had used this, it wasn't really what we wanted in the first place? It was really an elusive bubble. These things of the world cannot bring spiritual satisfaction. They are only things that appear to the fallen tendencies of our human fleshly bodies as to what we want, or desire, or to need. Turn to Luke, the 14th chapter, 33rd verse. So likewise, these are our Lord's words, whosoever he be of you that forsake not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. We have taken this step. We have entered into an agreement, a covenant of sacrifice. And God hath given us in our consecration all the monetary things, means that we have to be stewards over. We hear some people say, well, I'd like to have $1 million. Well, that might be nice for someone that didn't have to be accountable to the Almighty God for that $1 million. But you and I are accountable for whatever means we have before God. We are to forsake those things that it says of the world. It's very hard for us to do that with our fallen tendencies. We have to go on day by day and, as was expressed here, fight that Goliath, that great giant. Whatever it is that is giving us opposition, we have to fight against that each day. For that reason, the Apostle Paul says that he died daily in endeavoring to do this. Luke, the 9th chapter, verses 24 and 25. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For if what is a man advanced, if he gain the whole world and lose himself, or to become a castaway? So as we think about these things in our everyday life, we should not love ourselves unto death, but to endeavor to put away those things that are not absolutely necessary, and to endeavor to do as our Lord did, to go about each day in ministering to others as we have opportunity. Maybe the only ministry that we will have is perhaps a few words to someone who would be interested, whether they would hear or whether they would forbear. As the Scripture says, we are to be there to give that word. To Peter, our Lord said, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? And we remember the experience of Peter. And of course, he said he would. But in a few hours later, according to what our Lord said, that you will deny me. Let us not become this way, saying that we would lay down our lives, and yet we will not do that. Love not ourselves unto death. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter, in verse 4, these are words that are very unctuous to us. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear a second time, and it says without sin unto salvation. Or without a sin offering is a better translation. Without a sin offering, we to be a part of that great sin offering as offered when our Lord offers his church. So let with these thoughts perhaps help us to stimulate our minds that we might endeavor to think of our daily course, to lay it down, and to not love ourselves to death. Amen.